Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning, and we're going to start with a passage of Scripture found in Colossians chapter 3. And this is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul, right into the Colossians, he says this. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. The Amplified, that's the New King James, the Amplified puts it this way. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. That's kind of another really great angle way of saying, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God act like an umpire continually, deciding and settling with finality questions that arise in your hearts. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling them that the peace of God has the ability to do that. The peace of God has the ability to umpire. You know, when you think of baseball and you think of umpires, you think of balls and strikes, and you think of safe or out. You got those close calls at the plate. And ultimately, that umpire is going to make the decision. Was the foot on the plate before the ball tagged him, or did he tag him before the foot was on the plate? You know, now we kind of have all the instant replay and all that kind of stuff too. But ultimately, even with instant replay, the umpire has the final decision. That's simply evidence for the umpire to consider. And so it's that umpire's job to say safe or out. And the Apostle Paul is saying the peace of God in your heart can do that too. You have an umpire in you. You've got some decisions. Is that decision safe or is it out? How can I know? How can I tell? I can make a case either way for it to be safe or out. How do I know? This is what the Apostle Paul said. We've got peace. Peace is going to make that ruling. You're going to have a peace that it's safe, or you're going to have a peace that it's out. Something that's going to interrupt and say, nope, not right. It's pretty amazing to think. This was not written to apostles and prophets. This was written to the everyday church member, all of us. This is written to the church. Every single one of us has this umpire. Every single one of us can navigate life knowing safe or out. And of course, in a baseball game, if a player argues with the umpire can throw him out of the game. That umpire has the authority. And there are going to be some things that you're going to find, nope, it's out. If it's going to fight with me, I'm throwing it out. It's done. Or it's safe, I'm going to go that direction. But there's authority in that peace. That umpire has authority. It's not just a good feeling. There's authority there. You know, a lot of times I will do series of different things, you know, by design. You know, we did a series earlier this year called Fear Not and different reasons why you could fear not. Did some series last year on reconciling irreconcilable differences in different aspects. A lot of times I'll know when I'm going to go into a series that it's a series. Other times I'll have a series, but it's an accidental series. And that's what I have found over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We have been doing a series by accident, not by design. I keep coming back to similar themes, and I think, Lord, is that really keep coming back? If you kind of look back over the last few weeks, last week we talked about rejoicing, preparing your heart to pray. You know, before that, we had talked about freedom conclusions and just simplicity, different things along those lines. And then we talked about the God who stays. No matter what you do, he ain't going anywhere. He's staying with you. Nothing can separate you from his love. These are just some simple, common themes, but they're all connected by a truth that Jesus told us about. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What we've been doing by accident over the last 3 weeks is we've been really, if I could go back in time and know then what I know now, I would have done a series and I would have called it The Light Yoke Defined. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What does that mean? It means he's a God who stays. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It means those freedom conclusions, simplicity. The same conclusions we had to come to as an unbeliever. I'm a sinner. I need God. And there is a one-size-fits-all answer. His name is Jesus Christ. He died for everybody. And I'm not part of some complicated thing that doesn't apply. He died for my sins. I humble myself as a child. And with simplicity, I call upon the name of the Lord. But until I fought the idea that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, he couldn't do anything for me. And we realize that same way as a believer. If I'm in the flesh and I'm fighting it and I'm defending it and I'm not in the flesh, there's not much he can do for me. But if I'll say, hey, man, I'm in the flesh. I need help. Hey, he's right there to help me. There are conclusions that we come to. And yeah, his help for me is the same help he's got for everybody. There are one-size-fits-all answers. Why? Because he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. And that includes my stuff too. There's a simplicity that you come back to. You're coming back to a simplicity of his love. You're coming back to a simplicity of his ways, how he functions. And we looked last week at rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord. Before I ever go to pray, you know, I talked about how I'd kind of delve into that Philippians 4:6 and pray and pray, let my request be made known to God with thanksgiving. But I'd delve into that and my heart wasn't right. Before you get into Philippians 4:6, sometimes you got to go back to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Before I do my Philippians 4:6 business, I'm just going to intentionally rejoice. What is it doing? It's preparing my heart to pray. This is his yoke. I'm rejoicing in the Lord, turning my heart toward mercy. I'm feeding of the Holy Spirit. I'm stirring up the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of me. I'm looking to him. I'm declaring that he is good. He is right. He is just. What are we doing? We're stirring. This is what the light yoke looks like. The light yoke is rejoicing. It is praying. It is thanksgiving. And it's letting the peace of God rule. Letting the peace of God rule. It's so simple. And before I get into it this morning, I want to say this. I want to make a strong statement. The light yoke is always light. It's always light. And this is something we got to get settled. It's not light when everything's going well. And it's not just light for some people. Here we go. We're going to get into our one-size-fits-all answer. The flesh world and the devil and our spiritual egos hate these, but God is simple. And he has one-size-fits-all answer. He has a one-size-light yoke that fits all. He doesn't have one yoke for you and one yoke for somebody else. It's the same light yoke for all of us. We saw last week the Apostle Paul. He obeyed God, went and responded to a Macedonia vision. He went there in obedience to God, preached the gospel like God wanted him to do, saw a man saying, come over here and help us, preached to us. He did it, exactly what he saw. And he ended up getting severely beaten, thrown in a dungeon, and his feet were fastened in the inner stocks. Think about that. It's dark, probably damp, doesn't smell very good. You can't see hardly anything. You can't move. Your whole movement's restricted, and you've been severely beaten. Is the yoke now heavy? Nope. Right there in the midnight hour, the Apostle Paul put his yoke upon him and began to worship God and rejoice in the Lord and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard it. Paul's faith couldn't be shaken. The jail was shaken, but Paul's faith wasn't shaken. That light yoke is always light. You don't know what I'm going through. The yoke is light, though. I'm physically in pain. I'm emotionally torn. My heart's broken. I don't understand, but that yoke is still light. That yoke is light. And I'm just telling you this, not even as a pastor. I'm telling you this as your fellow brother and sister, as a fellow brother in Christ to my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is one of the great breakthrough keys of life. His yoke is always light. His yoke never gets heavy for heavy situations. Wherever you are, nothing can separate you from his love. Height, depth, trial, calamity, peril, sword, famine, nakedness, demons. None of those things can ever make his yoke heavy either. His yoke is light. What does that mean? I've always got a place to start. I've always got a place to go. And no matter what I'm going through, if I can know that one thing about the Lord, his yoke is always light. It's always light. I can do the next thing. This morning, we're going to talk about letting peace rule. This is going to be kind of almost a conglomeration message, pulling together everything. Because the thing that I just want us to get out of this series of all these pieces is that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, no matter what you're going through right now. And no matter what you're going through, you have the ability to follow after God. You have the ability to get through things. And in the middle of the storm, maybe that's where you are. Maybe figuratively, you may be in a dungeon with restricted movement in pain. But there is a next move. There is a next move, praise God, that is going to keep your world together. That's going to cause you to overcome. Letting peace rule. As we let peace rule, the first thing that we have to do to let the peace of God rule in my heart. And that's really what we're talking about. No matter what your circumstance is, the light yoke is you can have peace in the midst of any storm. You can be walking through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear just because you know he's with you. That's peace. That's the light yoke. It passes your understanding. Again, this is the light yoke defined. It's these pieces. But the final one I just really want to hit on is letting that peace rule. The Apostle Peter said this, and there's really going to be two aspects to this message this morning. And the first one is simply pursue peace. All right? Pursue peace. Peace is something that can be pursued. First Peter is actually quoting, I think it's Psalm 34, but he who would love good life and he would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let him seek peace and pursue it. There's a seeking of peace. If you're going to let peace rule, you got to seek peace. You know, letting peace rule can kind of sound like a passive activity. I'm listening, I'm vibing, I'm trying to discern what peace is saying. Yeah, there's an aspect of that, but before you can even do that, you got to pursue peace. In other words, you got to be intentional about getting into peace. I can't answer my problems, but I can get peace in my life. No matter where I'm at, I can pursue peace. What's the key to pursuing peace? Well, we see it here in Isaiah 26:3. He says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's where the Apostle Paul was. He could have had a lot of why God questions there in that dungeon. But all he was doing is worshiping God. He was keeping his mind stayed on God. You will keep him in perfect peace. I'm pursuing peace. I'm not trying to figure out why this happened. I'm not trying to figure that out. I'm not letting the drama be my focus right now. I'm pursuing peace. I'm not trying to answer the why God question right now. I'm just looking to God. I'm pursuing peace. I just want peace. That's all. Gosh, if you've got peace, you got peace in the midst of the storm. You got it. That's the first starting point, pursuing peace. So this is it. This is how we pursue peace. We see it here in Romans chapter 8. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Verse 2 is showing us a law, a principle. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. These are laws. You know, there's natural laws and there are spiritual laws. There's a law of gravity that keeps us stuck to the earth, and there's a law of lift that can break the law of gravity. It doesn't do away with the law of gravity, but you can get in an airplane and put into motion the law of lift, and I don't know all the precise stuff about this. Bob here might know all the details of this, but there's a thing you can do. You can tilt your wings at a certain angle. You get it going in a certain speed, and pretty soon you're in that aircraft, and you break the law of gravity because of another law, a law of lift, and it gets you flying above that gravity. But to do that, you got to be intentional. The plane doesn't just go from the ground to the sky. There's an intentional act where you're doing something. You are getting in that plane. You are tilting the wings at that angle. You're getting it at that speed. And every time it breaks the law of gravity. That law of lift breaks the law of gravity. And the Word of God is saying there's spiritual laws like that. There's a law of sin and death. It's like a spiritual gravity that connects us to this earth and the flesh, the world, and the devil that's going on. But there's a law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that breaks the pull of the law of sin and death, that breaks its pull. It's a natural pull we all experience. If you've got one of these bodies, it's dying for a reason. It's been corrupted by sin. And it's a receptor to the flesh, the world, and the devil. And that's why we have to keep it under, the Bible says. But we experience that downward pull of the law of sin and death. But thank God, Jesus, when he died and rose again, he unleashed the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus so we can get in our plane. And how do these planes work? It says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. This is very general. It's very vague. I'm not problem solving why this happened or why that happened. No, I'm humbling myself and I'm just keeping my mind stayed on him. What am I doing? I'm firing up my engines because I'm going to get this thing going down the road. I'm pursuing peace. I'm not pursuing understanding. I'm pursuing peace. I'm pursuing God. This is the light yoke defined. I'm going after peace. I want to know, I want the peace of God in my life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, we said before here, as a believer, sometimes you got to come to that same conclusion that you had to come over there. Oh, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You have to say, hey, I'm in the flesh, and I need to start walking in the Spirit again. One of the things that has been my moment of discovery is when I don't have peace. It says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're mad, you're in your head, and there's no life and peace. And this is where you got to say, But this is where we can justify and why God and victim complex and have our 15 reasons for staying here spiritually. So we got to come to that simple childlike conclusion and say, I'm in the flesh right now. I need God. I'm going to pursue peace. I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm just going to pursue peace. I'm going to get spiritually minded. I'm going to get spiritually minded. How did Paul do it in the dungeon? He just began to rejoice in the Lord. There's no problem solving here. There's just a magnifying what the Lord did for him. There's magnifying God, glorifying God. Like we said last week, when I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I'm doing four things. Praise God. My heart's being turned to mercy. I'm remembering that he loved me and forgave me. My heart's being turned toward that mercy, toward that grace of God. Praise God. I'm also drawing on the Holy Spirit. I'm stirring up the Spirit of God within me. And I'm declaring that God is good. I'm declaring he's right. I'm declaring he's just in my praise and worship of him. I'm clear in my heart from junk. What am I doing? I'm just setting my mind on things above. I'm beginning to worship him. You know, in the world, there's a big business called nostalgia. You can go back and buy the old... You can go back and buy the old songs, the old music. And what it's designed to do is it's designed to stir up feelings that can bring you back to a time, that can bring you back to a place. Maybe you re-trigger some things in your brain and get that feeling back, all right? There's the power of that mental thing where you can do things and create that feeling. This is different. This is not stirring up an emotion or a feeling. When you begin to get in that plane, you begin to fly in that plane, you are stirring up the power of the Holy Spirit. You're stirring up a spiritual substance of the peace of God. There is something of strength of God's peace. So let me just do a couple other scriptures here. Philippians 4:6-7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is this light yoke designed to do? This light yoke is really the way you pursue peace. What am I? I'm rejoicing in the Lord, but now I'm praying. Why am I praying? When I'm praying, I'm casting my cares on the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Help me, guide me, show me what to do. I'm letting those requests be made known unto God. I'm getting the heaviness that's on me off. What am I doing? I'm pursuing peace. As I pray with thanksgiving, it doesn't say I'm going to get the answer to my prayer. It says the peace which surpasses my understanding is going to keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What am I doing by praying? I'm really pursuing peace. I'm pursuing peace, peace, the peace of God. Before I can let the peace of God umpire in those questions, in the specifics, in the things that I want to know, the answers, the understanding, all that stuff, that good nitty-gritty bottom line stuff, before I can ever get there and let the peace of God umpire, I got to get in peace. I got to get in peace. I got to pursue peace. I got to lift up and magnify Jesus to where he's more important, bigger than all those issues, where the Lord, I'm in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and me and him is the most, you see, there's only one person, that I'm commanded to love with all my heart, all my soul, with all my mind, all my strength. That's God. And there's no human being that can take that place. And when I get that, Jesus, you know, Isaiah said, he who keeps his mind stayed on me. That's a form of worship. You know, Jody was talking about in worship, you're declaring your dependence on him and he's worthy. There's a humbling of yourself. This is that same kind of humbling of myself where I'm saying, this is about me and you, Heavenly Father. I love you. I worship you. Ground, step one is my walk with you. I'm refocusing. I'm pursuing my peace in you. Because these things don't change. You love me. You gave yourself for me. So I'm doing those things. And then finally, you know, 2 Timothy 1:6-7 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We talked about this last week in the sense of drinking. You know, don't be filled, you know, with wine, whereas drunkenness, but be filled with the Spirit. And you're singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. You begin to worship God. And as you begin to worship God, it stirs up the Spirit of God, power, love, and a sound mind. What am I doing? I'm pursuing peace. This is something that, you know, at times the Lord's kind of dropped this phrase in my heart that it's always a good thing to get immersed in God and the things of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God, all that. But there are times when it's absolutely necessary to get immersed and go after God and the Spirit of God and the things of God. And when we're talking about letting peace rule, there's a pursuing peace. You're going to sense the Holy Spirit begin to draw you into these places of just worship and the Word and drinking of the Spirit of God. Stir up the Spirit of God, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When I'm over here and I'm frustrated and I'm in the flesh and I kind of know I'm in the flesh, it's hard sometimes to get in the Spirit. Because maybe God's going to tell me something to do and I don't even have faith in my own obedience to do what God tells me to do. So I'm scared and I stay here. Or maybe God's going to tell me to forgive something and I'm afraid I can't forgive and I've tried to forgive and I can't forgive. And there's different things going on there and I just can't keep, and there's a fear and there's a concern and all that kind of stuff. Right here is where we got to realize this is where the yoke is light. This is where the yoke is easy. You're right. You can't, in of yourself, do anything apart from Christ. Apart from him, you can do nothing. You can forgive nothing. You can obey nothing. But this is the light yoke. Even though I may be in a place where I'm carnally minded and I'm enmity against God and I'm in that place, there's one thing I can do. I can drink. I can drink. I can drink of the Spirit. I can drink of the Spirit. I can drink of the Word. I'm pursuing peace. I got my plane on the road. I'd like to be in the air. I'm not in the air. I can get in that airplane. I can rev up the engine. Like we said last week, a person doesn't get drunk in a second. They drink by faith, knowing they're going to get drunk, knowing that it is going to bring some temporary relief to that state of mind. You do this by faith. You get in that plane. From this state, his yoke is light. From this state is when I begin to say, thank you, Jesus. You love me. You're still for me. You're with me. I begin to worship God. I'm not trying to stir up a feeling. I'm pursuing peace. I'm keeping my mind stayed on him as things come up. And this is very organic, all right? This is a hard thing to preach sometimes because in my life, in your life, it looks different every time you do it. You might endeavor to get in that plane as you're endeavoring to go down the road. It might start with a song. God might remind you of a message that you heard that stirs you up every time you hear it. And the Holy Ghost say, listen to that message again. There may be a song that's like that. There's a tapestry of things, but you're listening to the Holy Ghost and you're either all these different things you're doing. You might call up that friend. You might read that testimony. You might do things that stir up the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. You begin to stir that up. And as you begin to stir things up on the inside of you, you come to that revelation. And as you begin to get familiar with God, it says it, when you're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. It just is life and peace. It happens. in that place of spiritual mindedness. All of a sudden, the main program isn't the issue or the drama. The main program is God. The main program is the Word. The main program is Him. And there's something about that Word. It's powerful. And it gets my focus right. It gets my spirit right. And as I'm beginning to stir up, I'm stirring up a spirit of power. And that power that I stir up has the courage to do what God tells me to do. When I'm stirring up love, I'm getting intoxicated with a love that can forgive what that guy can't forgive. What am I doing? I'm pursuing peace. This yoke is light, and it's the same for everyone, in every circumstance, in every situation. It's a one-size-fits-all God answer, because it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. How we tap into that law can be very different amongst each of us. Those things that cause you to get your mind on things above could be different as it relates to that message or those sermons or the music or different things like that, but they're all the same Spirit. And it's all the same Word. And this is where we got to realize, I'm going to pursue that peace of God. I'm going after that peace of God. And I just want to say this too, before I go on to that final point here. There have been times when I've been here, I've been grooving, my plane is in the air, and I'm flying above the law of sin and death. And something can happen that can trigger things, that can, maybe you make provision for the flesh or give place to the devil, or something happens you don't understand, and all of a sudden you can go back and, as it were, an event that can crash that plane. And where you were living free, now it seems like you're back to where you started. But you're not. In fact, Satan, who is the father of lies, this is one of his greatest lies right here. He will get somebody, could be a new believer. It will, you know, God delivers them, causes them to live above pain and heartache, and they are living for God. They are flying on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Could be flying for years on that law, tearing it up. They're living above the law of sin and death. Something happens. The plane crashes. And Satan is right there to say, see, you were never free. You've been bound all this time. You were just suppressing it. You were in denial. That's a lie. You really were free. You really were living above it. See, the law of gravity didn't go away. It's still there. And if we get carnally minded for whatever reason, it'll be right there. You know, my dad back in the 50s smoked, as a lot of young guys did. They didn't know then what they know now. Actually, he said that when the Surgeon General came out and said it might be dangerous for your health, he quit smoking right away. Him and his brothers, a lot of his acquaintances did. And I grew up in my family. My dad never smoked because, you know, he stopped smoking earlier on. But I noticed, too, that he came home one day and just said one of his acquaintances had started smoking again. He hadn't smoked for 20 years. He was just around some guys that smoked and kind of reminded him and the smell of it. And then he's kind of lit up, and pretty soon he's back on it again. Well, here's the question. Was he really free those 20 years he never smoked? Yeah, he was really free. He was really dead to that. It's the same with a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff in our flesh and things like that and circumstances. That's what the Bible says. Be careful lest the root of bitterness spring up, defiling many. You can live above hurts and pains and genuine forgiveness and things like that. And something, when you're flying your plane, can come along, crash you, and think, oh, I never worked through that. I never resolved all that. I know that it's amazing how you could live free, cut it up for the kingdom of God for years and years above that stuff. And all of a sudden, that stuff that happened years ago is now the most important thing. Satan lies to you and says, no, you got to go back and figure all that out. You don't. You don't have to figure everything out. You need to get your plane back in the air. Do you know your deliverance is, you're going to go through this whole life and not understand some things. In fact, you are by design only to know some things in part. You'll know some things fully. But your deliverance doesn't come through your understanding. It comes through a peace that passes your understanding. Your deliverance is his peace. The world would call it denial. I get it. I understand. But we're not denying anything. When I'm over here and I'm flying above stuff, I have clearly taken it in prayer and I've acknowledged my God with it. And I've said, Father, this hurts. Ouch. Help me. I forgive even as you have forgiven. Lord, I don't understand this. I acknowledge you with it. I'm not denying. I'm not pretending. I'm not hiding. I am with absolute clarity taking every thought into captivity. And I am declaring it and I am casting the care of it on the Lord. And as I'm flying over it for these years, the Lord is carrying the care of that. And that peace passes my understanding. And what does it do? It keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I'm living with real victory, doing kingdom stuff, living above the law of sin and death. And if that plane comes down, it's not that you got to go back and figure out everything you just flew over. You just need to get your plane back in the air. Keep living for God. Keep serving God. Your deliverance comes through his peace, not through the understanding. He'll give you understanding. He'll show you what you need to know when you need to know it. But listen to this, and I want you to take a self-inventory here. Whenever you feel pressure on yourself to have to understand, to have to know why, ask yourself this one question. Is that pressure coming from God? Is it God demanding me to tell him why? Is it God putting pressure on me to have to understand? Because if it is, by all means, I'm going to figure out why and serve my God. But let me tell you this, his yoke is easy and his burden is light because he doesn't put pressure on you to have to know. He says, cast your cares upon me. I'll carry them for you. And in humility, go through life loving me, living for me, serving me, and I'll show you what you need to know. This is humbling stuff. This is heartbreaking stuff sometimes. This is stuff I'm talking about to me. It's amazing how you could tear it up for the kingdom of God and all of a sudden the most important thing in your life one day is something that happened 20 years ago and it stops your whole walk with the Lord, or 2 years ago, or 6 months ago. All of a sudden that's the most important thing. No, it isn't the most important thing. There's a peace that passes your understanding. You just need to get in the plane, pursue peace again. Pursue peace again. You really were free. You really are and were doing kingdom work. Get back in the plane again. Ask yourself, is God telling you to know? Or is it a victim complex and self-pity disguised and trying to put that pressure on you? I'll tell you what, this is where I want to go. I'm kind of setting this up because of this point that I'm getting to right here. And I know this is heart stuff. Like I said, I don't even feel like a pastor this morning. I just feel like Brother Ed talking to you about my stuff and things I've gone through. Receive this as a brother in the Lord this morning. I know I walk that. I don't walk a different plane as a pastor. I've been out there longer than I've been up here. It's getting close. But I've been out there longer than I've been up here. You understand? I know what it is to walk through this. And it's no different when you're up here anyway. It's the same thing. You don't get any perks or any privileges to live free being a pastor at all. You just get a little extra grace to preach the word. That's it. But there's no extra equipment you get to live for God being a pastor. Satan is the father of lies. And I'll just say this is the one that I've probably been tripped up on the most. When I'm successful and something hurts and then I go back and all of a sudden, instead of going forward, I'm looking back. I want to tell you this. The counsel of the ungodly, a lot of times, is going to have you looking back in a way that will keep you stuck. I know what it's like here to be here too. I know the scriptures, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. And a lot of times when you're in some of these settings, those concepts are mocked. Yeah, the little band-aid fix from Christianity. My office is full of people just like you that are hurt, that don't get it. I'm talking this morning to this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. There are things I've gone through, but this law is still the law of God. He that is in me is still greater than he that is in the world. I understand these inflection points. I get it. But I've got the Holy Spirit who takes me back to the Word of God, who takes me back to the Spirit of God. And ungodly counsel is written in books by men. And those books of men will appeal to your flesh and sympathize with your flesh and tell your flesh what it wants to hear and will put you in a deep spiral of self-pity and self-seeking that you can never quite seem to get rid of. But our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, can also sympathize with you. He can sympathize because he's got a shared feeling of your condition, of what it's like to be backbitten, to be betrayed, to be whipped, to be misunderstood. He has a shared feeling with everything that we've gone through. And in his sympathy and in his mercy, he says, look up. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. Your answers are going to come from me. Men's books, you could take the leading book of men's ways. And 100 years from now, they'll be looking back at that book with their new book and saying, that was all wrong. This is what's really right. But the Word of God is going to read the same 100 years from now. It's going to still say, cast your cares upon the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. Get in your plane by faith and fly it. I know there's a victim complex that tries to keep you from getting in, but get in anyway. It's a light yoke. It's a light yoke to worship the Lord. It's a light yoke to begin to set your mind. It's a light yoke to declare the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the path of sinners, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And your being might be wanting to do all three, but you're saying it anyway, because there's power in that word. And you got to realize, when you got born again, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yielding to the flesh is not the true picture of who you are. It's influences that are muting and subverting the true color and character of who you are. When you come over to here and just push through that and begin to by faith saying, yeah, I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord, and in your law I'm going to meditate day and night, and I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When spiritual things begin to stir up, you don't change here. You just get in tune with who you already are here. Oh yeah, I am a new creation. I really do like this stuff. I really do like fellowshipping with God. I really do like the Word. I really do like worship. I really do like that. There is a stirring up that happens on the inside that connects you to the Holy Ghost, connects you to the new creation. Stuff begins to happen here. You begin to fly above the law of sin and death again. And you don't necessarily know stuff anymore. You're just keeping your mind stayed on him. Finally, not only is there a pursuing peace, but there's following peace. You're in your plane, you're flying. From here, there is going to be a following that peace. And this is where the Apostle Paul puts it this way. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, when you think about this, there's a weapon that has the ability to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That weapon is the peace of God. How in the world could somebody bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? It sounds like a very taxing cerebral exercise to have to do that. But when you're flying in your plane and you got the peace of God ruling, you know, in your heart and you're sensing the peace of God, it's kind of like if you can think of a military operation, they've got radar screens. And when an enemy pops up on that radar, when there's an enemy in there, it pops up on the radar screen. That's the way the peace of God works in our life too. When we're following after peace, I'm not trying to keep track of every thought. I'm pursuing peace. I'm living in a place of peace. And when something interrupts that peace, it pops up on my radar screen. That's my weapon. I'm getting into a place of peace, and I'm looking for things that interrupt that peace. James puts it this way. He says, you know, if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. If you got, look at that, self-seeking in your hearts, that wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's that place. Confusion and every evil thing are there. You know, we know that we've got a lot of options if we want to get relief from a state of mind. Prayer is one option, but the enemy offers us all kinds of other options, carnal-minded options. And so if I'm in that place, I've got self-seeking, I got a lot of things going on. But he says, don't think that wisdom's from above. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy. God has wisdom for us, but it sounds very different than the enemy's wisdom. Because here's the thing that you need to understand when we're talking about letting peace rule is the peace of God, when it's ruling, it's going to sound like James 3:17. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. It's kind of like an aha moment. It's like, yes, that's it. That makes sense. I get it, and I don't hate anybody all at the same time. I get it. It makes sense. I know what to do all at the same time. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's an aha moment. It's like, wow, yeah, I see something. The wisdom, it's pure, then peaceable. Peaceable is the second characteristic of that wisdom. And the peace of God says, that's it, that's it, that's it. Now, he says over here, demonic wisdom, he said, when it's bitter envy and self-seeking, it says, don't boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom doesn't come from above. Do you know when you're over here and you get something, there's a temptation to believe you're getting it from God. But you're not getting it from God. It's not coming from God. Because the same way the Holy Spirit can witness to the things that are of the Spirit, your flesh gives that same witness. Like if there's something that's bitterness and hatred and anger, your flesh will witness. That's right. They did say that. They did do that. Oh, it's a witness. But he's saying it's not from above. It's from within yourself. It's from self-seeking. But when you let the peace of God rule, when you let the peace of God rule, this is the cool thing. And again, I'm just talking shop here. I'm just talking the way I've walked this out. I'm assuming you know a lot of this stuff. I'm assuming you know some spiritual things. But I can be over here, and as I've got things bombarding my head, think, oh yeah, I can't think of those things that are mine. Oh yeah, the peace, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I know enough scripture to know that it's wrong. I know enough scripture to know I shouldn't be thinking that. I've been educated enough in the Word of God to know this stuff. But there is something different. There is something different when you pursue peace and you pursue Jesus and you pursue the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and my life is just about worshiping Him and loving Him and keeping Him my center. There is something that happens. There's a fragrance. There's an atmosphere of peace you experience on the inside. And when you're over here and you're experiencing that peace, and there's peace that you've pursued, and there's peace that you're in, and that same thought comes against you, it's not just that, Oh, yeah, that's right. I shouldn't be thinking that. There's something different over here. You got peace over here. And you got peace in the truth. You got peace in that God loves you. He's for you. His word's true. You are revving and you're peacing on things that you know are true. And now when that demonic wisdom tries to get you to go back or try to hurt you or crash your plane or try to get you out, it rings hollow because it doesn't have peace in it the way you have peace right now that you're experiencing in God. There's an authority in that peace. It's not just the theology of right and wrong thinking. There's an authority that you get when you're in that place of peace. And when those thoughts come against you, there's something wrong about those thoughts. They're interrupting my peace. They're just as compelling in terms of a natural way to try to get you off, but there's something about them that's not right. Paul said the spiritual man and the natural man are different. The spiritual man compares spiritual with spiritual. And when I'm in a place of peace and the enemy comes and tries to get that demonic wisdom, there's a quality of peace that's not there. There's peace in this, but there's not peace in that. And I can reject it on the basis that there's no peace in it and it's good enough. And it keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. There's something that happens as I reject it there. It doesn't have the peace thing that this has that I'm in right now. I reject it on the basis of no peace. There's authority in peace. And what am I doing? I'm umpiring. I'm saying this is safe. That's out. This is safe. That's out. I can, but when I'm over here and I don't have peace, I'm reasoning with reasoning. And I can see that. And I can see this. And I can see that. And I can understand that. And that did happen. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's built a case here. He's got a case. A stronghold is a stronghold because you believe it. And you got case and you got evidence. And when you're over here, you're fighting that evidence in a cerebral reasoning. This wisdom isn't from above, self-seeking thing, but when you pursue peace, and I'm going for peace, that yoke is still light, and I'm pursuing peace, and I'm going after peace, and I'm going to pursue peace, I'm going to get in a place of peace, and then we'll call balls and strikes from a place of peace, then I'll call safe and out from a place of peace, but not over there. I'm going to get here with the light yoke. I'm going to get in the presence of God because there's authority in his peace. And you can, things that you just struggle, I know I can't think about it, but I can't help it over here. When you're over here, you can help it. You say, there's no peace in that. I'm going on down the road and I'm not intimidated. My ego isn't even intimidated because I'm on God. My heart's on him. I'm in a place of peace. I've pursued peace. I'm flying. And I'm keeping my plane in the air. I know him. I know his peace. And I'm letting that peace rule. It's not just about knowing the stuff theology. There's a yoke that's connected to a peace that connects all your theology. When you stay in that place of peace, say, yeah, I believe. I believe in that peace of God. And then finally, I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. That's this place stuff over here. I know I'm a child of God. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. There's an authority in that. And Jesus said that same spirit that bears witness that you're a child of God, that same spirit is going to lead and guide you into all truth. John said you have an anointing that abides within. You need that no one teaches you. That anointing teaches you all things. There's an anointing right there. And when that anointing rises up, there's an authority in that anointing. There's an authority in spiritual things. There's an authority in that peace. And like I said, that same demonic wisdom and reasoning trying to crash the plane, trying to get you back, when he talks, you see through him over here. Because the spirit that bears witness that you're a child of God is the same spirit that bears witness that's not God. The way you get victory over things that are not God is first and foremost by knowing they are not God and not engaging them. The only engaging that you're going to do at this point is, in Jesus' name, I resist you. Your power is broken. You have no authority here. The peace will have the radar screen that exposes the enemy thoughts. and you say, no, in Jesus' name, that power is broken. But the cool thing is this. Now, I've been in and out of this. What I'm describing, I've done, yeah, we all have. Our stories we can tell. I get it, you get it. But I'm telling you what. After I go through this rodeo a few times, you come to some conclusions after a while. You know, if I would just drink and keep drinking, if I could just stay intoxicated with power, love, and a sound mind, I wouldn't have to worry about whether I can obey what God tells me to do next or whether I can forgive that thing or not. I'm going to stay. That's the light yoke. That's the light yoke. You know, when you turn on a light in a house, it's a very light yoke to flip a switch. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind that. Lee could tell us all that stuff, all the electrical things that goes on behind flipping a switch. There's wiring. There's a power plant. There's all kinds of stuff I don't see, I don't need to know. My job is to flip the switch. That's the light yoke. My job, rejoice in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and let the peace of God rule. It is a one-size-that-fits-all answer that gets you flying in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, your brilliant Lord and Savior, the finisher of your faith. You're not the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the finisher of your faith. We get into trouble over here when we try to finish our faith and we try to problem solve. Not my job to finish my faith. He's the one who began this good work. He's going to be the one to be faithful to complete it. My job is to look unto him. My job is the light yoke. My job is to trust him. It's the same. And I know these things can sound very cliche. Word and prayer and praise and worship and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at some point, there's an epiphany that breaks through. You break through the years of churchianity and Christianity and doctrines and dogmas and all that kind of stuff and say, I am here, I'm alive right now, and the Spirit of God lives in me. And the Word of God is true. And I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink deep of the Spirit. I'm going to drink deep of the Word. I'm pursuing a place. I'm pursuing a place of peace. And from this place of peace, my heart and mind is in Christ Jesus. What are you going to do about that? Do you know the answer to that? My heart and mind is in Christ Jesus. There's no better place in the world to be than your heart and mind is in Christ Jesus. Because from there, the finisher of my faith will tell me what I need to do. I got stuff. You got stuff. We all have the same yoke. We all have the same Lord. We all have the same law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. This is the light yoke series. It's the light yoke to find. Doesn't matter what we're going through. The answer is the same. This is a real place. I could have a testimony service right now of you, of things you've experienced here, things you saw here, miraculous things. This is a place we can come onto and we can stay. We can live here. We don't have to get up from here. I'm going to close with this. Last year about this time, I was on a walk and the Lord was just speaking to my heart about the place of rest, that light yoke. It's a place of rest. And I saw myself talking to Jesus. It's like a little mini vision. I'm walking on the street, but I'm seeing in my mind that I'm talking to Jesus. We're chatting. And as we're chatting, it's like I got in this place and I'm pouring out my heart and I'm sharing. I'm not whining. I'm sharing. I'm loving my Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and we will sup. We'll have a meal together. He knocks on our door and I let him in and I'm praying and I'm talking. It's like I could see myself. I let him in and we're sharing and we're fellowshipping and I'm just seeing myself eating a meal with Jesus while I'm praying. You know, it's like an allegorical of what's happening in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, while I'm praying, I'm having this free-flowing thing. I get this thought, random thought, angry thought, fearful thought, that's interrupting my prayer. And all of a sudden, in my picture, in my little vision that I'm having, as I'm talking to Jesus, that thought registers as another knock on the door. And all of a sudden, in my little mini vision that I'm having with Jesus there, we both hear that knock on the door. And Jesus just looks at me. And I could tell by the look when he's looking at me. He's looking at me like, are you going to get that? Have you had enough green pasture time? Are you going to get that? Because there's a victim complex over here that doesn't like you in that room with Jesus. Get back over here. You don't know what you're in denial. You're going to hurt yourself. It's going to be another crash. Don't just get back. There's a fight for you. No, don't. You're sitting in there. You're in the peace place. You're hanging out with Jesus. Are you going to get that? He still love you. He won't leave you or forsake you. But this is right here. And again, I'm talking as Brother Ed. This is right here where you are going to have breakthroughs. Because when you choose to stay at that table, that knock will get lighter and lighter and lighter. And you're going to begin flying over stuff again. The flesh and the world, the devil, are angry that you're flying over it. Denial, denial. Just fly with a smile on your face. Peace in your heart. And just let God lead you and guide you. Let him finish this work he began. You only get a few years down here. What does that look like? That's up for him to decide. He hasn't put me down here to figure out everything that's wrong in the natural flesh world, the devil stuff. He's put me down here to follow after him. There's an upward call that I'm looking toward. Because when I'm over here and I hear, forget those things that are behind reach, oh, it just feels like a nagging, you don't understand. But when I'm over here in this place of peace, yeah, that is right. That is true. That is the right thing to do. I am going to forget those things that are behind. I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. I'm going to pray about those things that are behind. And if God gives me wisdom out ahead regarding those things that are behind, I'll embrace whatever he tells me to do about it. But my heart, my focus is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. That yoke is always light, and it always brings you to a place of peace, to where you can discern safe out. Because there's an authority in this peace. I can just leave with this. When you get here, it's not just think right scriptures. It's not just think right Christianity. There's power. There's love. There's a sound mind here. There's authority in the spirit here. And in the same way, when you're over here and all the spiritual things, I got to think right through, honest, just, pure, lovely, da-da-da. It kind of rings hollow over here because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it's like, When you're here in the place of power, love, and a sound mind, those same arguments, what about they ring hollow here? And you're going on in God. But it's a place. It's a place of peace. And from here, you let that peace rule. And I'm letting that peace rule. I don't care how compelling the argument is to my head. Is there peace in it or not? No peace, out. Peace, safe. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the wisdom of God. Again, kind of an accidental series. The light yoke defined. It's the same. Your path forward, I don't care who you are, where you are. I'm talking to me. The path forward for all of us as believers is the same. It's a light yoke. It's a light yoke of pursuing peace, going after God. Going after God. You get drunk. You have faith. You have faith in the power of the Holy Ghost to intoxicate you with power, love, and a sound mind that you don't have right here. You have faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. Faith in the Word of God that's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When you begin to declare the Word of God by faith and you begin to get that plane down the runway, the discerning power that's in the Word of God gets in you, and you can just discern and see things because the Word's in you. It's a place. It's a place of peace. Pursue it. Learn it. Learn to live there. That's my heart cry. That's my challenge for Ed House. I want to get here and I want to stay here. I don't want to get roared back. I don't want to be intimidated back. I can live here. I can stay here. And God can change me here from glory to glory. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the power of your word, for the power of your spirit. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just strengthen each one here with might in the inner man, that they would just sense your presence this morning. I pray that where people have been lied to, they would know they've been lied to. That lying victim complex, that lying ungodly counsel that pets the flesh. Father, you've called us to put to death those things. Father, I pray for each one of us this morning that we have a fresh consecration to you, to pursue peace, to follow after peace, to realize that in that place isn't just theology to do mental sword fighting, but there is a substantive power of your spirit, a spirit of power, a substance of power, a substance of love, the substance of a sound mind that changes everything. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith this morning if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I pursue peace today. I thank you for your word, for the power of your word. I set my mind on you. As my mind is stayed on you, there's perfect peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's not hyped. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to work for it. I just set my mind on you, and you produce life and peace, power, love, soundness of mind. It comes as I stir up the greater one. These aren't words. This is truth. This is reality. Lord Jesus, live in me. Move through me. Express yourself through me so I can truly say, it's no longer me who lives. It's Christ. It's the power of Christ that lives in me and comes through me. It comes through my words. It comes through my faith. I believe. Therefore, I speak those things that are true. And I walk in that truth. And I'm free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's a power of God. There's a power of the Spirit of God. You can listen to this stuff for a while and kind of be thrilled by the spiritual logic, but I'll tell you what, all that novelty wears off. It's either real or it isn't real. It's either true or it isn't true. You either put your life on the line or don't. But I'm telling you, it's true. I'm telling you, you have enough evidence in your own life to know that it's true. I do. Like I said, this isn't Pastor Ed preaching. I'm Brother Ed. Just hanging out with you this morning, saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to get here and stay here. I'm ready to get here and stay here. And the longer I stay here, the more I behold him. And I'm changed from glory to glory here. Because it's a real place. Spiritual things are real. I am so glad they are. I'm so glad we're not serving a faith religion or a positive thinking. This is the Spirit of God that's greater than the law of the Spirit of the law of the Spirit of life that's greater than the law of sin and death. Receive that. Receive that. There's really not a lot new here. Kind of a big, long exhortation message of stuff we know. But I'm telling you what, and this is why I even kind of wondered, Lord, I didn't even know what I was going to preach today. It's like, I keep coming back to this. So I did this by faith this morning. I did this by faith. It's kind of a wrap up. Say, here we are. This is where we live. I don't care what you're going through. That yoke's the same. That yoke's the same. You're still a new creation. The old has still passed away. all is still new. You still have the Holy Spirit in you. You're still righteous in Him. And you're still His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works He's ordained you to walk in. Nothing's changed. Get here and stay here. Party here. Drink it up here. Get intoxicated here. This is a challenge to me that I'm passing along to you. Challenge that I've had from the Lord. But man, this is a place we were meant to live. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Not he who pokes his head in there every once in a while, but he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You're going to abide under that shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. Well, receive that. Be encouraged. Let it minister to your heart. You might, if you need, listen to this message again. I know there's a lot here and a lot that we kind of covered and different things, but praise God. I'm just trusting. You know that. No matter where you are, you got that path forward. The yoke is still light.